Minnesota Timberwolves fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some Minnesota Timberwolves ball. Unfortunately, on and off the court, mentioned it a little bit last week as far as muddying the waters. I think that was the term I used. I did get multiple messages with some pushback of that. And lo and behold, our guy, Glenn Taylor has an issue with this. He says that the team is no longer for sale, and he likes where he's at. He's fine with the scenario for obvious reasons. So we'll dig into that, but we want to start on the court rather than off the court. But we will cover that. 2-1 on the week. A little bit disappointing loss last night to the Bulls. They beat us twice this year. Just kind of sucks, man. Being that you played so well in Denver and defensively, man, they really did a job there. So that kind of sucked, but it is what it is. We'll kind of work our way through that. Then, of course, preview and predict the four games we have. I think it's the Tuesday, Wednesday is our second to last back-to-back. So we're going to preview and predict the games coming up, Houston, Toronto, the Suns, and Lakers. So, Houston's been pretty hot lately, so it's going to be an interesting one. And then we'll end with some Gophers talk. The sky's not falling just yet. Everybody calm down. We lost a key piece, no doubt, but everybody calm down. Let's take a breather, okay? So, we'll get to it in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the Living Loserville podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeadope and download the show directly there. If you don't want to, you can find this here podcast in a variety of ways under ropeadope radio on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Google Podcasts, Podbay, Podtail, whole lot of pods. Oh, yeah, don't forget to download the podcast app. There's two major places. Spricker has a Living in Loserville page. Check that out, Spricker, which lends itself to Spotify. So if you have Spotify, check out Living in Loserville on Spotify. Also, head on over to thegrillingtruth.com and Sports News 24 while you're at it. One more thing from DirecTV. The action is here. Don't miss a moment of men's and women's basketball tournament on DirecTV Stream. Plus, you can save $30 in the process. Also, MLB's here too. Home field advantage. DirecTV Stream carries most local MLB games. There's no annual contract. No hidden fees. For a limited time, $98.99 for your first 3 months when you sign up for DirecTV Stream and get the choice package. First month of DirecTV Sports Pack on us. When you sign up, that's a savings of basically $15. Choose the DirecTV streaming package that's right for you. The entertainment and sports pack right now saves you $30. Like I said, it starts at $84.98. Okay, let's go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. First and foremost, sir, how are you doing? And, kind of a theme that's happened this year is, lose to a team where you're like, dang, I wish we wouldn't have lost that, but then have like an elite level win. So a pretty good week. We both thought it was going to be 3-0, but still, a lot of positives to take out of the week because of that Denver win.
Yeah, man, we were riding high because of that Denver win. I was thinking, nothing's going to stop us now.
Right.
It's finally, it's our time and everything. And, maybe we had a little bull stumble there. And you're right, second time of the year, it's a little concerning. I don't know. I mean, Eastern Conference team, blah, blah, blah. But the Bulls have seemed to have our number there. And then all the off-the-court stuff, which we're going to get to a little bit later, just kind of, throws you for a loop of what's going on around here. But nonetheless, drop back a game. I think we're behind the Thunder now. And Denver, of course. After the win, that would have been nice to stay up top. But, yeah, it's a situation we're at. I don't think I'm losing my mind about the Bulls' loss, Chris. I just think, it would have been nice to play a little bit better in the first half of that game. I don't know if they were lackadaisical or not. But, Yeah, I mean, a loss is a loss.
Yeah, it does suck. First and foremost, last year, we made improvements off of this type of stuff last year, hence the record. Last year, we remember we were like top four or five or three in the best wins, you know, teams of over 500. But then we were one of the worst teams against under 500. So we've made strides in that department, no doubt about it. And we don't want to take that away. But when you're here and it's now April 1st, you do have to take care of business. And the writing kind of was on the wall in that Detroit game, the way they played through most of the three quarters. They did close really strong in that third quarter at the end. But that was kind of, I guess you should have known. And remember, we know Detroit sucks this year, but they only had a handful of their players that they sucked with on the court. The rest was like, you know, Washington Senators type stuff. So I think this week and just in general, like you said, not lose your head. The Wolves are a very, very good team that, you know, has shown they can be great, right? They're on the path, right? They are on the road to being a great team, but it's an uphill climb. And a lot of people last year were saying we should blow it up, basically, when we hadn't even seen it much. And those people were obviously wrong. Now let's see what it happens in the playoffs. Let's see next year, whatever. You know, it is what it is. But this is part of the path. It's not going to come easy. It is what it is. So, yeah, there's things to be critical of, no doubt, but let's not lose our shit all the way. But it's a tough week coming up, no doubt. And like we were talking, that, I don't know, man, that Detroit game was really lackadaisical. And in the early part, he had this footwork jumper where he juked the guy out of his, out of his shoes, basically. And I don't know. It's like they look good kind of early, but then all of a sudden it was like, well, what the hell? What's going on? Like, are you guys here? It did feel like, against a much lesser opponent that they just took the night off. And I will have to say, out of all the games this week, I'd say Ant, that was his game where it looked like he was taking the night off. He didn't have that same oomph. But I did have to mention that, like, six-move perfect footwork play, because it was nasty, dude. But, yeah, that was kind of disappointing. They did end up getting their shit together late third, putting the game away, you know, in the fourth. And it's not like we didn't have some good performances that game, because we did, you know what I mean? I did like some of them. I mean, it's nice this week to get Conley going in general. Considering Nas was 1 of 8 in that game from three, I mean, otherwise he was like 8 of 10 from the field from two-point range, though. So I thought that was that's kind of interesting. He started getting to the rack and whatnot. Jaden had a good game. So Slo-Mo had like 14 points, 8 assists. They turned it on. They knew they were going against a crappy team. They turned it on. Like I said, Jaden had 20 points or whatever. And I did like how Nas kind of wasn't hitting the three okay, 1 of 8, but to go 8 of 10 from 2-point land, get to the line as well. It's nice because his three has been struggling. This last week it was like 4 of 22. He's had a little struggle with it, but he still managed to have a solid game, that way. So, Detroit game, it is what it is. At least they got over the hump. They didn't do anything silly like last year and lose that game. But on to the Denver game, man. That, you know, it's funny. It was at 7.5. As far as, you know, the favorites for Denver. And I remember when we talked, Aaron, I mentioned how there was like 4 starters on the questionable list for their game coming up, even before we played them on Friday. I thought, and I knew Murray had been out, and I'm like, huh. So I kept an eye on it, and you know how, like, an hour before tip-off, all of a sudden Murray was out. And it was like, oh, I'm jumping on that. And I had already, like, thinking about buying points, you know? So I bought a little, I got it to 8, but by tip-off, I think it was down to 5.5. But once I saw Murray was out, you know, their second leading scorer, we already have our second leading scorer, I was like, well, hang on now. This is a very winnable game. And we went in thinking that, you know, based off the last performance, shorthanded against them, Aaron. We played them damn good, except that fourth quarter. But talk a little bit about that Denver game because, yeah, it sucks we lost to the Bulls. We'll get into it. But, man, just a great effort, great defensive effort. I liked what I saw in that game, dude. They're the best team in the league right now until someone beats them.
I was watching Porter a lot just to see, you know, because the game before we played them, he kind of got off a little bit. Yes. And I was like, all right, I don't want him to heat up. And I think they paid extra attention that Murray was out to handle Porter in his threes and a little bit driving to the basket. I thought they handled Jokic pretty good. I wanted to watch that. You know, Nas is bringing the energy. You know, good to have Rudy back for that situation. I know we didn't have him the last time we played him, but I really thought they came out and they played, you know, focused basketball from tip to tip. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you mentioned Detroit was a little lackadaisical, and I also thought that the Chicago game was a little lackadaisical. I don't want them to get complacent. But against Denver, you know, it just seemed like they were in it and on it at the time. And, you know, Ant was hitting things. Defensively, they were on lockdown mode. Things were really going their way. You know, Murray in or Murray out, I still think we probably would have took that game. Maybe not, you know, as soundly as we did, but it was really good to see them play high-level ball this time of the year because, you know, little accidents against Detroit, you dropped a few games that you didn't really want to. You know, you've been pushing pretty hard here in Cat's absence. I know the record's a lot better than you and I probably thought it was going to be. But to go into Denver, you know, Murray or not, and to, you know, get some revenge for that last game because we were down, what, 2 or 3 guys, like you mentioned, I thought really was a statement win, you know, with 10 or so games left of the season. It's like, hey, look, we're here. We're not going anywhere. Yeah, we might not finish 1 in the West, but we're going to be top 3, and you're going to have to deal with us at some point. And I think Denver kind of knew all year that, you know, we're coming. They knew last year in the playoffs. And so it's nice to have, you know, some wins against them so they know that we're there and we're willing to play them. I think we match up pretty good against them with Cat. But, you know, it just sucks to, like, you know, maybe you came off the Denver game a little bit tired or a little bit, you know, complacent or maybe – just a little slow or flat, but you know, you want to follow up a game like that with a win, and it just didn't happen, Chris. I, you know, it's one of those things where it could be a million things and it could be nothing. You could have just got your butt whooped, but I really didn't think they came out against Chicago the same way they came out against Denver.
Yeah, and either way with the Denver thing, they are up 2-1 now. We hadn't played them in a long time since like maybe the first, somewhere in the first 10 games, I think, 12 games we played them, beat them. Then we didn't play them. Now we've played them a lot. Now we're going to play them again, of course. But we are up 2-1. So either way, to have that season split at least, that's the best they can do now. It's going to be on the road. And I think we've talked about in the past how it is going to be a back-to-back, but I think they're going to be on a back-to-back too. Hopefully they're coming from a road game, but we'll see. Yeah, in that game, if you would have told me Ant and Nas are top 2 scorers right now, we're 0-13-3, and we won the game, I would have been like, are you sure? You know, the thing I liked about Ant, yeah, his three's been, you know, lacking a little bit of late, but he got in the paint. And he was 9-10 from the free throw line. Conley went off 5-6 from 3, 23-8. Rudy was solid as hell. You know, Jaden was solid as well. Slow-mo had like 7 assists. And, you know, we've said it kind of for a while. People are starting to come around to it. Small ball's not dead, But if you don't, if you're not going to be an elite small ball, then you might as well not build a small ball team. We saw that with an undersized. Sure, we did have a true center in Cat 2 years ago, who we moved to four. But, you know, Vando, McDaniels, those are small kind of, you know, especially Vando, inefficient on offense sometimes guys. And, you know, like I said, if you're not Golden State or some of these other teams, there's no point in just going small to go small. And now that you have Jokic winning the championship with that Denver team that has had that core for so long, they play so well together, you need bigs in more than one. And the thing is, what that we've seen Cat do a solid job, right? And then having the lurking Rudy, right? We know Slow-Mo can do that. Now we know Nas can do the same thing. So we literally have, we don't even have to put Rudy directly on him. You know, Cat, Nas, and Slow-Mo with the lurking Rudy. And then sure, if there's, you know, some stuff going on, or maybe Gordon does get into foul problems, and then they move him over to, you know, Rudy over to Jokic or whatever. But to have four bigs, especially three, and then Rudy to lurk, and like I said, if they go small, they're not going to take Gordon off the court. But if they did go small or he got foul problems, we can maneuver from there too. So I think that was big, man. You know, that's huge. And you're not gonna like stop Jokic. You just got to slow him down. And funny enough, if he has like 24 points and 13 or 14 assists, sorry, Common. And, you know, a bunch of rebounds and all, it's actually, they probably win more games that way. When you have him relying on him to be in the 30s or 40s, and then he only has a few assists, they don't run as well. So it is up to like, hey, man, he's going to get his. Let's try to contain it. And so, yeah, I think we do match up with him very well. I don't want to see him in the second round. I'd rather see him knock on wood in the conference final. And I think that when you drop, we'll get in Chicago now, when you drop that game, you know, the fact that we play Denver again gives us an up. We have some tough games coming up in the West, and we still have an opportunity for first. But first gives you a chance not to face the best team in the league. I mean, Boston's right there, obviously. But, you know, that would really suck if it came down to the Chicago game when it comes down to that. But whatever.
I was just going to jump in real quick and say, yeah, before you move on to Chicago. You know, McDaniel's length, too, you can throw him at Jokic as well. I don't know if you put that in the equation, but there's like, you know, there's bigs and length, and you can do a lot of stuff. Missing Cat's tough. But yeah, I don't like. And also, I don't want to see them. I mean, I'll put off seeing them in the playoffs as long as I can. I don't want to see them in the third round.
Yeah, but I think everybody would say
I'm
that.
I'm not anxious for it or anything like that. But you know, I think we stand up pretty good against them.
Yeah, yeah, McDaniels. I think that would, you know, maybe. I mean, I don't know because he's pretty skinny. But either way, like you said, the length and. Sometimes, like I said, just making it tough, making them make shots, keeping them out of that 6 to 8 foot range, because it's over. Once he gets that close, it's done. It doesn't matter who's guarding him. It's done. He's got that slow old man game that he just keeps the dribble alive, has the post moves. He just knows where to go with the ball pretty much every time. And that's the key, Aaron. We're starting to, we see him turning the ball over against us. Or maybe the pass isn't as good as it could be, and that messes up the play, the cutter, or whatever. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, Conley knew what the hell he was doing. I mean, he obviously built Denver into the championship team they are. The players get a lot of, you know, of course, credit for that, but he did build that team. So he knew what the hell he was doing. He knew what they had to be. Now the Bulls, like I said, for about two quarters and then a good chunk of the third, it was lackadaisical, man. It was lackadaisical. It seemed like we've talked about how the ball was moving more like it was in the beginning, the first 2 months. I think people have kind of analytically measured it right around Christmas. We went on like a 5 or 6 weeks where we were very up and down on offense. We've never actually been a top 10 or even, yeah, top 10 offense this year, which is kind of funky. But it, when the ball sticks like that, it gets a little eh. Now, they were hitting threes, no doubt. I thought Morris had good short stints off the bench. Conley and Rudy showed up. But the ball was sticking. They did the defense. We couldn't – the guards, we just allowed way too many open threes and open shots and drives, and I didn't think the ball pressure was all that good at all. And like I said, that kind of goes with the lack of days. Go, okay, we just beat Denver in Denver. We're going to beat the Bulls. They're under 500 now? Yeah, we'll beat them. And then for the first time in a long time, Ant had a turnover game. So that played into it, too. I think he had 5 or 6 turnovers or something like that. He's 1 of 17 from three lately. But like I said, 2 games ago, he got to the rack a little more and also those free throws. But, yeah, I kind of felt there was moments where he was just trying to find his groove more than just getting off the ball. And you could say that about a couple other players like that. But, yeah, man, I just thought, okay, they made a nice run, cut the lead, and then ultimately got the lead. But we know, like, that's why you can't be down 16 to this team, because we know if you don't just pass them and then get double-digit lead or something, they're going to make a run back. And, you know, we had multiple turnovers. Ant had a late turnover. Alexander Walker had a late turnover. Rudy missed 2 free throws. Jaden as well. There was a possession, Aaron, where there was – we missed a shot, missed a three-pointer, got a rebound, missed another shot, got a rebound, missed another shot. I was like, dude, what in the fuck is going on? Caruso starts going crazy. 2 of their guys just went off three-point-wise. But, yeah, man, I mean, 0-2 against the Bulls this year. And like you said, like, I think we're 0-5 or 5 out of the last 6 we've lost to them. So they for whatever freaking reason, they got our number. But, yeah, it was just a sloppy way to go out, and then – we kind of relied on, well, we got to hit these shots now. And I just thought, like, we were up 99-96. And then I'm not saying we lost focus, but a few turnovers, some sloppy play, and just not knocking it down. They went on a 10-0 run after that. That was pretty much game.
That was the word I was going to use, was sloppy. It just seemed a little bit sloppy, and maybe attention to detail wasn't there. You missed some shots, but the turnovers, like you said, Ant with the turnovers was not a good thing. And, you know, you're right about Rudy and Mike. They showed up, they played well, but even defensively, it just didn't seem like we were matching the energy Chicago had to get up to play us, obviously. And, you know, they pulled out to some leads. They were hitting shots. It's tough. I get it, but you can't turn the ball over yourself. Got to be strong on defense. And I think you nailed just pretty much everything about the Chicago game, Chris, except for, you know, I guess I'm just feeling like you don't want to drop games like this. Although, like you said, we have a bad record against Chicago. So, you know, a trap game, whatever it is. But these guys, you know, are tough for us to beat. I don't know if it's a matchup or what it is. But next time we see Chicago, I don't know if we'll see them again this year. But if we do, we're just going to have to watch that, because we got to get a win against those guys at some point. I mean, they're not the greatest team in the East, but, you know, they match up or play us well. It's not great. But, yeah, I thought it was sloppy play, a little lackadaisical, maybe a bit of a hangover coming off Denver. I don't know. You could say a lot of different things.
That's what it seems like to me.
But, you know, it's not something to lose your head over. Yeah. We'll see how we do this week. But I feel like we'll snap back as usual. And, you know, I'm not going to let it worry, but people were all, it's over this. We lost the 1 seed. We'll, hold on. We're a game out. We got a 3-game lead. Who's behind us? I think over the Clippers. So we're in good shape. Let's not, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Bad loss. But, you know, I'm gonna chalk it up to hangover, like you said, against Denver. Hangover from a good win. I know that's not professional, but you're right. This team's, it's not there yet, folks. We're still building. Yeah. We're in a good spot here in the West.
We are a very good team, but we're not there yet.
and we're younger than everybody we're facing at this point in time. It's just, you can't have everything all at once. These things take time. If you want to do it right, you know, it has to be a natural progression.
Yeah. And like I said, I want to remind people, a lot of these same folks that blow it up like it's a video game. You could just, I don't like how this game's going. I'm just going to, you know, turn it on and I'll turn it off and I'll just forget about it. That's not how this shit works. So yeah, everybody calm down a little bit, but yeah, I'd rather lose to the quality teams right now. You know what I mean? I will say that. I hope we don't lose to a clearly lesser team. Now, this isn't a clearly lesser team, but the fact that they beat us already once this year, God, we should have been focused. That's what it seemed like. It was like, dude, did you just see what we did on Friday, dog? And the fact, like you said, that we were kicking the shit out of Denver. So I think that played into that, too. We have solid vets, but we still have a young team that at times, you know, has some growing pain still. But, hey, 50 wins, baby. It's only happened 5 times in franchise history. I mentioned how Ants 3 is just not there right now. But, hey, you'd rather have it right now not, you know, working, and then in a handful of games in the playoffs, it goes down. Because was it 2 shows ago or last week? I said just wait until that 3 comes. Because he was already playing great in a variety of ways. I mean, like I said, this 6 turnover game, he hasn't had one of those in quite a while. So we can't act like that's going to keep happening. I will say this, Rudy's not a great free throw shooter. He's been solid this year. He's at 50% the last 10. I think he was 7 of 15 2 games ago. I like that he got the line 15 times. But, you know, 10 or 11 of those would be nice. So he's kind of got to get – now, maybe that rim's giving him a little issue. You know, that's a possibility. But any other items before we start to break down what is a fairly challenging week, because Houston is coming in hot, and they're right – they're like, hey, Golden State, here we are. We're coming on that 10 spot.
I think we covered most of everything I wanted to say. I thought, you know, quickly wanted to say, I don't think we're getting calls. I think, you know, it's something I've been watching. I don't want to get into a big, you know, rant about it, but it's like I've been watching and, you know, going to the basket. And it's like, you know, I don't know if the complaining is helping or hurting, but it's just like there's a lot of free throws, I think, left out there. And I don't know when that's going to change or how that's going to change. I'm glad that the guys are playing through it and they're not throwing fits and they're just, you know, taking it on the chin. But, it, you know, some of these games, Chris, you get an extra, you know, 8 times at the line, make a big difference, particularly like against Chicago. You know, you get that extra 8 points or free throws. And, you know, that's something that I've just been, you know, watching probably for the last 3 weeks. I don't want to, like I said, go into a big diatribe, but nonetheless, I'll continue to watch it this week. You know, it's, you want to say that we snap back for this week, Chris. I want to say that, you know, Houston's playing better at the moment. The other teams, I just, you know, I want to say we continue to play the way we have played, that the Bulls was just a blip on the radar. And we'll snap back to it. I'm going to go with that because I really don't want to think of the opposite. We don't need to limp into the playoffs. I want us to continue to go. I don't really care if we get the number 1 seed. I want to be top 3. I think we discussed that a couple weeks ago. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to take the 1 seed or anything, but, you know, Houston's playing a little better. Toronto's always a tough thing. If you're not focused, they'll beat you. And then, you know, the last 2, Phoenix and LA, I mean, they're obviously good teams. You're going to need to bring it. I just don't want to see us, you know, monkey around with Houston and Toronto and then have to raise a level of play against Phoenix and the Lakers all of a sudden or flip a switch somehow. I'm going to go 2-2. I think we beat Houston and Toronto. Phoenix is always a tough one for us. I think we lose that one. And I want to say we beat the Lakers, but this time of the year and they're surging a little bit, maybe they beat us. So I'm going to go 2-2, and to me that's conservative. I really think it's 3-1, but just to be on the safe side, 2-2, I say we lose to Phoenix and the Lakers, which isn't great. You know, it's not a great thing coming down the stretch. You want to at least beat one of those squads. But to me, if you can beat Houston and you can beat Toronto, I'll be satisfied.
I wouldn't necessarily be satisfied with 2-2, but I know what you're saying. I don't know, you know, I don't know if it'll go win two in a row, then lose two in a row. I could see us actually losing, you know, beat Houston, losing Toronto, turn right back around and beat Phoenix, you know. That's kind of how it's gone at times. So, oh, yeah, and as far as the calls go, I think Ann is actually not only getting more calls, but he's actually learning to not fade away as much. Obviously, and I'm talking about on his drive to, like, fade instead of going to the contact. I think he's learning that a little bit more. And like I said, maybe a couple weeks ago, he's not screaming every time either. Because he's gotten the line. And that Bulls game, I don't think it came down to that, though, because we actually had, it was 21-12 free throws. But overall, usually they don't come, like we've mentioned, you know, until you get out of that first round, until you've quote-unquote, earn their respect. but you know, I just, it goes back to that Rudy thing. You know, all this text and complaining on some of these, like some of the complaints that's why I keep mentioning Ant with the 13 texts. It's like you got to save your complaints for a super bad fall call so you can get that tech and maybe it'll help you in that game. When it's an in-between, you can't go too crazy. Because it's like, dude, that's not even a bad foul. Save it, because you are for sure getting some bad calls, man. But, yeah, I really think that's – I don't know. I think that Cat had the same type of, I guess you could say, demeanor towards the refs, and it didn't serve them well. So hopefully in the next few years they call it better, but also Ant is more of the dead whistle, let's talk this through. Like I've seen him do more this year, or sometimes it's a coach and him, and they're talking their way through it. And then when it's a horrible call, then go nuts and get a tech. But, you know, he's figuring it out that way. But, yeah, I hear you about the 2-2. I'm not hell-bent on first place, especially now that, knock on wood, we'd really have to fall apart to drop down to four. We really have to fall apart. So I don't see that happening. Yeah, and I'm going to go 2-2. It may be like that mixed bag. Like you mentioned, though, with Phoenix and the Lakers, they are more desperate than us right now, clearly, because of where they're at. And Phoenix has a chance to get out of the play-in still, technically. And the Lakers are trying to stay in the play-in. So I would say the desperation goes there. And maybe it's just the bad vibes off of the Detroit game for a chunk of it, and then the Bulls thing, you know. And you know, we are 8-4 since Cat went out, so that's a solid record. You know, we've kind of dodged a couple of best players on their teams, so that's helped. But we've also, you know, the Golden State game, the Denver game, and even though Kawhi left that fairly early, that Lakers or the Clippers game, I still think that may have been the second most impressive win, because you made a comeback and then you won by 18. So I said those three games really stand out to me. Also, that Indiana's a good club, and to beat them in dramatic fashion, that's probably so I'd say four out of those eight are really quality wins. Have we dropped a couple? Sure. Two of those losses were super shorthanded, the Lakers in the first Denver game. So, and I liked how we played in those games. So I'm with you. Maybe we're just kind of, like you said, it's a conservative look. Should be 3-1, but 2-2 minimum. Got to do 2-2. So I'll let you go first as far as good old Taylor. It is funny, though, man. It just felt weird, some of these quotes lately in the last month or so. And like I said, I mentioned is he trying to muddy the waters? Because it kind of felt like that. And I did get like probably five messages saying this, that, and the third. And basically just even before the news came on Thursday, I got some messages. And then I got a variety of them. And some of them were just going right off of what Doogie says. And Doogie was playing PR. Now, he playing PR for Taylor. But he did get, you know, Mark and Alex's side. But I thought he could have been more professional in saying, I've only heard from one side. This is what I'm gathering. Not be so bluntly like, they didn't have the money to do it type stuff. I thought that was a little over the top. But what are your thoughts on, you know, nothing comes easy with the Timberwolves, man. It's just, it's unbelievable, but so, yet so believable.
Yeah, you know, I ever hear that saying that, you know, if you always see these people that like, oh, I'm in a bad relationship, and then another bad one. It's like, well, who's the common denominator here?
Right.
And it's like, that's what I see with Taylor. It's like, okay, so I'm at work on Thursday or whatever it was. I get a few minutes to scroll through my phone, and then I see, you know, Pharrell Payne is in the portal. So I'm like, well, that sucks. And then I go and turn on the radio, and I'm hearing all the stuff about the Timberwolves. I'm like, well, okay, well, we have been obviously anticipating the majority sale so that we could get KG back and all the things that are stacked on top of that. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't know what happened precisely. I know Doogie said they didn't have the money. Okay, that's possible, but they still have the deadline. Is not quite got there yet, and they're putting money together. And I, before that, I had heard that they're already looking for league approval, and all this stuff got muddy.
The paperwork is filed for league approval when they have the meetings in a couple weeks. The paperwork was filed by March 27th. That was the deadline.
Yeah, and so then, you know, wait a couple hours, get more news, and it's like, well, the club's valued at some billion, and, you know, it's going to go up to another billion, so and it's a business decision. And it's like, all this crap. It's like, oh, well, did Taylor take this opportunity to jump in and not sell the team for what it was worth when he put it up for sale, and now he wants more? I don't know exactly. Just to me, muddy the waters is a great expression. But now to say that the team is no longer for sale and, you know, still having Laurie and A-Rod with like 30% of it, it just kind of – and then the buyer's remorse whole day that was there. It's just there's a lot going on here. I want to get to the bottom. I'm sure you have a really good, concise thing. But to me, it just feels like, you know, like Taylor is at it again. Now, you're going to fault a businessman for taking an opportunity to make more money if that is indeed what he's doing? No, not really. But at the same time, if you're going to sell something, you're going to sell it. It just, you know, all of it seems like it's going to come down to lawyers and timing and, you know, lump sum payments and all these type of things that
litigation,
and just really get messier than it had to be. Unless, of course, there was just a lack of funds, and then that's not Taylor's fault. And he's probably making the right decision. But, you know, I'm done with Taylor. I think this fan base, from just what I saw on the internet and all the different sites, is just, you know, people exasperated just because we thought we were moving on. I mean, Glenn's got to be high 80s, early 90s at this point. And I understand that we're winning now and he's got a, you know, a bond with this club, apparently. Only when they win, because he's going to sell them when they're not. So
when the economy was shaky coming out of COVID, you know, he was ready to sell like crazy.
Right. And obviously now you got Ant and your value of your franchise has gone up, but that's not Laurie's fault. That's not A-Rod's fault. So it's going to get messy. And I think in the end, you know, what's the saying that possession is 9/10 of the law. And right now Glenn has possession. And so it's like, how long are you going to, you know, continue to own this team? Are you going to pass it on to a kid? What are your plans, Glenn? If you plan to retain the squad, then please let us know, you know, upon your passing, knock on wood, what are you going to do? Where's it going to go? If you're not going to sell to Laurie and A-Rod, then what are your plans? I mean, that's really where I'm at. I'm not really concerned about, besides the fact that KG's out of the mix, if Taylor's in, and it's just, that's very hard to swallow. But nonetheless, it's like, okay, well then what do you do moving forward? Are we going to be in this ownership limbo for another year and a half?
Is he going to start trimming budget now?
Right.
You know, is he going to be afraid of the second apron and all that type of stuff, where clearly these guys weren't? They knew they had to spend money.
Yeah, and we know this squad needs a new stadium, and it's like, how long is that going to be held back? And there's no fear of moving. It's just, I want to get this thing going. You know, you want Ant to continue to progress, and you don't want these things around him to be a firestorm. You just want it to be smooth, Chris.
Yeah. It's funny, the last, like, I was at the freaking Historical Society, and it's been like three major things happen right when I'm there. Like, motherfucker, you know? But, yeah, I mean, it looks like seller's remorse to me. The whole they didn't have the money, he never actually said that in an interview, because he did radio interviews. He never said that. He never said that. That was Doogie saying it. And I think also Doogie meant them, like themselves, they had to get an investor, you know. But there's been a lot of information, because we only heard Taylor's side for a while. Then we got some really good in-depth stuff, you know, with the Lori and A-Rod stuff. And it just sounds like he's muddying the waters. Whether he thinks the arbitrator is going to rule in his favor to where he can keep a portion of the team, maybe. He does have minor investors that he has to please, and they must be on his ass because of the deal. But he did, and I actually went back and watched a chunk of the opening presser when he announced these two were the buyers. And he's like making, kind of poking fun, like, who knows what this economy is going to do. And, you know, he was saying, like, oh, shit. And he had been looking to sell this thing for a while. So, you know, there had been two separate teams sold in recent time, and besides ours. And that right there rose the profile of everybody's. So it went up almost $1 billion based off that, right? And there was even a Star Trib, post that had, it made it sound like they were going to move it to Vegas, when he was talking about once you open the thing up, it, because the pitcher has them at the press conference, right? The introduction press conference. And he said, I could have sold it for like $2.5 billion, but they were going to move it to Vegas, so I didn't want to do it. Not them, but some other thing, right? And he was just all over the place when he actually did talk about it. We know, it's been reported widely that the family doesn't want to have they don't want to have the team for long. That's the whole point of selling it. The younger folks, they're like, we don't want anything to do with it. We just want the profit off it. They bought it for Taylor bought it for $88 million, in 94. So the profit's there. And I just think it is some of his other investors that he brought in saying, hey, what the hell's going on here? We got screwed. But that's Taylor, like you said, not them. And, you know, he talked about this February. So there was that other financial group. I think it was, starts with a C. I can't remember what it was. But there were still some time left to be able to go, like, dot the I's and cross the T's with the NBA to get their approval. Not the approval overall, but the approval of, I can actually help finance this thing. And they were running low on that, so they're like, you know what, it's February now. Let's just go with our backup plan. And they were going to use it just for this last part. They were going to use an investment group that already has small investments in the NBA. So the NBA has already approved this. So that was their backup plan. Here's the silly thing, though. Well, first and foremost, the first two installments that got them to 40%, which has been reported, but now Taylor said 38 in one interview. In another interview, he said 36. It's been reported 40, whatever, over a third of it, right? So they, Lori and A-Rod, have, in the first two installments, have 90% of it's them, and only one investor is the 10%. Now, there was to get over the last hump, they were good, because it's another 40% or whatever, to take over controlling interest in it. And then it was going to do the same thing late December, file the paperwork, then you have 90 days, and they were going to buy the whole team by that. It was actually a four-part installment to buy the whole thing rather than three. And Kaler spun that like this was their idea when he was the one taking credit when people were asking, why is it 3 years? And he was like, I set that up, you know, and now we kind of know why. But he said in February that they actually were going to do a FIP because there was a 60 and a 90-day thing. They had till March 27th technically. But his little loophole, it sounds like he was like, well, I understood the March 27th to be that the NBA already approved it by that time. But you can file the paperwork, and in the document that I've seen in the, you know, in the actual contract public record, it does say that you just have to ask for permission for a 90-day extension. And then it's not up to him or just the NBA. It's not up to just Taylor for that extension. But here's the kicker. He said in February they're going to be able to finish it, right? And then that's where I think Carlisle, I think, was that group. That's where they decided to pivot to their backup plan. And he said, he said this on an interview with Chad Hartman. He said, well, I was willing to give him a 90 days extension then. It's like, well, if you're willing to give him 90 days in February, then what the fuck would be the difference in March? And not only that, but it's actually not fully just up to him if there's an extension or not. But it does put the NBA in a weird spot all of a sudden to now, are they going to just go through and approve it? Or my guess is, and the contract calls for litigation before an arbitrator. And usually an arbitrator is a very experienced judge who's not 100% active anymore. So he's kind of a retired judge, or at least partially. And they really look at it. And so, you know, A-Rod came out and said there was 24 people that called me during this deal and said, watch out for Taylor, dude. And because of they heard the setup, you know, the 2 year, you know, that type of their 3 year thing. And they said, yeah, they all called me saying, I told you, but they do sound like they have, you know, a contract that they're going to have to now go to court and litigate it. And maybe this is a last ditch effort for Taylor to be like, well, maybe I can keep 20%.
Yeah. It sounds like you put a back door in there.
Litigate it and they'll rule at least in my favor because I thought it was supposed to be approved by March 27th, you know?
Yeah, it seems like you put a back door in there, you know, because of the beginning of the sale or the buying process and up till now has been like a year, year and a half, something like that. You know, maybe saying that this the valuation of the club will go up and he'll lose out on profit. So he put in a little trap door or back door in there so he can come back in and take it back over again on some weird technicality, like a deadline being overdone or making them request 90 more days and then being able to say no to that. Some kind of contract loophole that got by the lawyers of Lori, interesting, turn of phrase there, and A-Rod. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, from what we've witnessed in Taylor's, tenure as owner, it just seems like, yeah, I mean, KG said it, man. He doesn't want to do business with him. And then if there's 6 or 8 people or 12 people calling A-Rod saying, hey, look out for this, maybe they found the trap door and were warning him about it. I don't know, man, but it's one of those things where, you know, maybe it's the way Glenn does business, but man, it's starting to wear on people more than it did before. And it's, we just want it to move on. Now you get to an arbitrator. Okay, great. But then NBA is going to knock. How long are they going to stay in limbo waiting for this to get worked out? It's awfully strange.
Yeah. And that's what we don't know. But until the NBA denied that investment, then we could say they didn't have the money. Now, we can't say, oh, for sure, we're just going to believe one side. That's not what we're going to do here, and we're not doing that. But we're also not going to believe one side, especially when the side's been shaky as hell, and I'm talking about Taylor. So nobody should say they don't have the money until, especially when the first two installments that got them up to whether, you know, it keeps changing, Taylor, but whether it's 36% or 40 or 38, they did it with 90% of their money. So it's hard to, if you're not a billionaire a bunch of times over, it's hard to just straight up buy the team. Most people have investment, or not most, but there's more and more of that. But yeah, I mean, we don't know until that would be finalized, but I think that does push it back. But when you hear some stuff, you know, he was outwardly saying stuff like, you know, we had a contract with you guys. You had your time. This is the end of the contract. So we're just going to kind of go on running the way we've been running it. And I just think, and they say, and he, you know, he talks about my plan is thinking, and he was even offering them advice like, hey man, this is a good deal for you guys. Cause you still, if you put in more money, it's going to be less money on your back. You know, it's like, Taylor, come on, dude. Cause you know, it's such a great price, he says, but which it was. But I just think we built the team. We got the players now, which they have a bunch of them signed. And it appears that we should have a very positive run for a number of years. And well, I want to be part of that, he says. And when you know, and when Hartman said, well, the franchise has gone up, bro, and it's only going to go up because they're going to get an influx coming up. When this new TV deal's done, there's a major influx coming in. And he said, you know, they asked him about that and how it's over doubled, you know, more than $1 billion, you know, almost $3 billion now it's worth. And he said, partly so, yeah, I have a responsibility, you know, so, and I've been on the ride basically for the last 4 years. I want to see this thing through type thing. Now, like I said, to me, I thought Doogie for Access was his PR. I thought he got played like a fiddle. Cause he talked about, I built the team, this built the team. And he even had a quote saying at the end, you know, at this end game, Glenn is not frustrated. He's not bitter. He's not disappointed. He's plenty fine with the end result. It's like, oh, you think? I mean, yeah, I'd say so. We also got some more from Score North. 2+ years, if they had the money, why isn't it done? Well, hold on now. Remember, the requirement was you had to get to 80% to take over the team. So you mean to tell me you're going to give this guy 80% of the money, which that wasn't the deal anyway. But let's just say, okay, we're going to overpay, right? Okay, I'm going to give you 80% of the money, but I can't control the team. So you're going to give almost over $1 billion, and you don't have control of the team? So I have 80%, but there's no control. The contract was set up so they didn't have control. And they actually spoke highly of that they've learned a lot from him. And now they've learned even more. But he also has quotes like, well, this money's not going to be for me. My money's going into the Taylor Foundation, not my pocket. But my limiteds, meaning his investors, they might be happy if the Timberwolves are sold later for a higher price. It's business. Everyone has the right to bring in lawyers, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, it seems pretty obvious that he's having, you know, seller's remorse. He sold it in a time where, you know, the economy was weird. We didn't really know where it was going after COVID, or really during COVID at that time. So, but that's the thing. It's been well reported that his kids don't want to mess with this thing. They don't want to have to run it. And A-Rod also said that they were against doing the Rudy trade, which does not surprise me. Now, since they were going to be quote-unquote owners, they did, Taylor, to his credit, signed off on it, right? And, you know, according to, allegedly, A-Rod also said that Tim Connelly, he said, you're never going to get Tim Connelly. You're not going to get him. Guys like that don't come here. Meanwhile, Denver is known to be a cheap franchise. It's well known, and they showed him the money and told him, hey, we're doing this thing, and he came here. They needed 3 months. They got him here. So that's my thing. If it stays where he's the controller for the next few years, let's say, I don't know if he's going to all of a sudden cut budget. We don't know that now. We know they weren't afraid to go over the second apron of the salary cap. But do we know he won't cut corners? I don't know. So, yeah, man, it's ugly. My guess is it's going to be litigation, arbitrator. And, you know, usually I have a little experience of reporting that for boxing because, you know, you want to talk about the Wild Wild West, boxing's that, but there are arbitrator decisions that are pretty fair. So I think it'll get done, and, you know, I don't know. And not only that, like you said, the KG thing gets delayed, and they, you know, it's been pretty widely reported that in some fashion that KG would not just have the celebration for his career and hang, but he may have a role here. Maybe it's an ambassador. Maybe it's an actual role. Because I know before RIP Flip Saunders, when he was going to get a group together and buy it, and then we knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. Well, if they're bringing in KG or trying to bring in KG, they're not going to move this bitch. They're not going to move it. They've already said they're going. They're going to. They own a bunch of the team, you know, theoretically, and they're going to sell some of that off to investors to then fund. Privately fund an arena. So they're not going to actually go to the taxpayers first. Now, I think Minneapolis will kick in money once they show they mean business, but I don't know, man. It's just a mess. Anyway, you know, on to a different type of like, oh no, what happened? The Gophers, you know, we knew, you know, we talked about Ola Joseph. Not only yeah. was he in the doghouse, but he just wasn't playing off the bench. He's not a he's a starter caliber, but not on this team because of the match. We knew he was going to leave. Carrington, being that at least one of the guards are going to come back, and Mitchell for sure sounds like Hawkins too. I can understand that, but I didn't see Farrell Payne leaving.
No, that was the one that got me. That's the. You know, that's your block for the future. He wasn't very heavily recruited. You got a really good player. You were able to get him in your system and, you know, got him up to speed. He was really progressing as a big in the Big Ten. And we thought, you know, for the most part, Chris, you and I all year, at least you kind of guided me into thinking, well, for the, you know, you'll keep the core-ish, you know, and, yeah, that's the one I was like, are you kidding me? I look at my phone, I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah, but then it makes sense, man. I mean, he's the piece here that is worth something, and NIL and, you know, Dinky Town, whatever, needs to get going because I'm not saying they're getting outbid, but, you know, in this case, it just seems like that. It seems like somebody offered him a little bit more money and, you know, maybe a
or he just knows profile. It's
He just knows it's out there, right. Yeah. So I don't think he's decided on where he's going yet. But, yeah, big blow to the program, Chris. I mean, that was kind of a cornerstone piece for going forward. And I know you got Carrington and Hawkins. And you don't have the big, a dynamic big anymore that you're going to – you know, as we say in football, you know, some stuff leaves, some stuff comes. But to get a Farrell Payne-ish type of big in the portal without getting lucky – that seems a tall ask, and I just don't know if you're going to be able to do it. Nonetheless, it sucks, man. You know, but that's college sports at this time, and it's you're not going to change it. It is what it is. I mean, we thought for many, many years that it was a terrible system the NCAA had, and, I mean, you can't give a kid a cheeseburger or nothing. It's like, you know, so I guess there's a middle ground there. Have a Gatorade and, you know, where did he get that new pair of shoes? You know, just,
yeah, oh, sweatpants.
Yeah. You can work, but you can't work, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Can't work in the off season, but you can't have any money.
So, it was, you know, it was outlandish to the other extreme, and now it's this. And, I, you know, I'm obviously if you're used to something your whole life, it takes some getting used to, but these people, they're, well, that's what I tell you, NIL and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there's no such thing as a perfect system, so you're just going to have to adapt. I think PJ's doing a pretty good job of it. I mean, it sucks, though. I mean, you really want to – how do you build a program like nowadays, Chris? If you build and you really develop somebody like Payne to the point where they're a competent Big Ten player and something you can really hang your hat on and then, you know, like that, they can be gone. It's difficult, man. It's really difficult for Ben, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to give excuses for Ben because that's, the, you know, the world we live in, but, man. That's a tough break. It really is.
Yeah. Now, Dinkytown athletes are what people need to donate to. it's not Dinky Town athletes need to get, you know, what are they doing? Well, they only thrive off of people giving them money. That's what they're doing. So you can do a one-time, you know, just one time. You can direct it direct. If you're a basketball fan, you can direct it right to the program. I personally do football and basketball, but you can, but other sport, you know, women's basketball, anything, right? You can direct it individually. But the football program, we saw 2 years ago, have some issues. Now they got that figured out more. And they didn't, besides the quarterback that didn't want to compete, and we got, you know, a top 10 quarterback on the market anyway, we didn't lose a starter. So they got that figured out for our level, right? We don't have an oil guy like Texas A&M, you know, ready to throw down and build stadiums and all that type of shit. Not that we need a new stadium, but you know what I'm saying. But the NLI for basketball, Johnson just had a presser, and he's saying, you know, we're really getting it figured out now. So it's almost like the same thing that football had to do. But I didn't realize, I think a lot of people just, because, you know, football was first, right? It's first, but also it literally was first these last chunk of months in the fall, summer, fall, and winter. And it got major investment. But I think people just did football instead of both. Which, you know, that's your right. It's your money. No big deal. Maybe you can do a monthly with the football and just give $50 or $25 just to the basketball team one time. Whatever it is. But they're actually struggling when you look at the ranks for the Gophers, the programs. So they are. It does sound like they're getting a little bit better. But I'll say this. Payne was a solid-ass player, and he's about to break out this next year. He kind of went through some growing pains this year. It showed a whole lot. He really did. And it's funny because you can never really tell who's going to leave unless they're like a top 10 pick or even a first round pick. But he was the one about a few weeks ago. I'm like, man, if we can keep this place together, bro, we can really do it. You know, see, it's just like a coach. I remember Nick Saban at, you know, Miami Dolphins. I'm not running away from anything. Oh, Alabama, yeah, I'm leaving. I mean, shit happens, you know. With coaches all the time as far as saying one thing and then doing the other. However, at this moment, considering where Johnson's been since he's, you know, since he got here, as far as turnover, and my guess is, like I said last week, and I've been saying that Dawson and Christie will go through the NBA process, right? Neither of those are just hand down easy first round picks, right? Mitchell already said he comes back. Sounds like Hopkins coming back. If you can get four out of your five starters back, that would be way longer, you know, in the progress than he's been. And then it sounds like they're still working on Fox. He's got to make a decision on what he wants to do for his just future in general with basketball. We talked about that last week, how, you know, the rehab, just not that he's in rehab all the time, but the things he has to do to get ready to play since he's had those back-to-back knee injuries. So could he be in the starting lineup and just be a solid player? Yeah, he could. Could he still come off the bench? Maybe, but I'll say this. Johnson has been great at getting these transfers. I mean, high level. And so if we only have to get two transfers this year, like we did last year, that really helps because you got a good core back, and then we got some young players that haven't even, you know, two coming in and one that, you know, has yet to play much. So it's not all lost. And if we just got to go get a solid big, I think we can do that. And another thing, you know, we did a show last Monday, but by midweek, you could really see they were hitting the portal hard. So I was like, all right, there's probably going to be about four or five players, but leaving. But, you know, like I said, the Ola Joseph, that was gone. Carrington, gone. But, Payne, you know, it is what it is, man. He's got, like, 20 offers or 15 offers from some big teams and some pretty solid teams. So we'll see where he goes or whatever. It is what it is. But I still think if they can keep three or four of those starters, he's a lot better off than he has in the past. And so a lot of these guys have developed. They know the system. If you got to bring in a vet that's, you know, 4 years in the college, and hey, can you get 10 points and 8 boards? All right, sign me up. You know, so I don't think it's completely lost. But, yeah, the NLI for Dickeytown athletes needs to improve for basketball now. We've seen, you know, what it did for football. We kept 15 out of 16 starters, and one of them didn't want to compete. So that's he left. He's at Rutgers now, I believe. So we'll probably see him. Anyway, that's about all I got, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, a little continuity probably helps there as well. I mean, if you can keep 4 or 5, you're right. If you can get – Ben has been good in the transfer portal. We'll probably get a big in. But it's just sexy to see Pango. He's a homegrown kid and all that stuff. Right, yes. Now, he's barking outside. But it's Minnesota sports, man. It's just the way it is. You can run, but you can't hide from it. And, it's always going to be there with the Taylor and the portal. And so definitely donate to Dinkytown sports, both basketball and football, and whatever sport that you enjoy. Get this podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, as you know, because you're listening. Make sure you check out Rope-A-Dope Radio and the College Ball Show. We're looking for a good week from the Wolves and maybe some good news in the portal for the Gophers. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.